You know, I have been blessed with the color. What color is this? Which team is that? Which team is that? Thank you. Thank you. Then. And I, nobody gave, was there a red team? Nobody gave me, no red? What's the other color? What's the other color?
Blue.
Well, I do have on blue today. Now, something very important to note. Last night after the preaching time, I was, what happened was I was inducted into the Hall of Fame of the blue team. I have a certificate. That brought tears to my eyes. Yeah. And, you know, I have an official certificate of being an official part of the blue team. So there are only three teams. What's the fourth team?
Red!
That's it for red! Maybe not. Okay, what I want you to do is everybody lean to the right, please. Lean to the right. Lean further. Lean to the right. Right. Lean. Then lean to the left. Go that way. Good. Thank you. Then raise your hands this way and shout glory.
Glory.
I said shout glory.
Glory.
Put your hands down low all the way to your toes. I don't want to see anything but your backbone if you got one. All the way down, please. Go down further. Down. Yeah, it's hard to do with your legs crossed, you know, Moody. All right, all the way down. And then bring your hands up real slow like this. And then go back. And put your hands like this. And everybody shout, okay. Get your hands up, brother. You can do it. No, it's not like this. It's not like that. All you do is take your hands and lift it back like this. There you go. All right. Good. All right. Let's start from the beginning. Follow Brother Maynard. Here we go. Ready? Lean to the right and lean to the left and raise your hands this way. Put your hands down low, then bring them up slow. And everybody shout!
Okay.
Tremendous. Now, there are many words in my old age that I've accumulated in my brain that sometimes come out of my mouth. One of my favorite words, a word that needs to be revived, a word that should be on the lips of every teenager in America today, to wow your friends, to impact lives, it's the word swell. Can we say it together? Swell. So say, ain't it swell?
Ain't it swell.
Say, ain't it swell?
Ain't it swell.
Ain't it swell to feel so, ain't it swell to do, what is it? Ain't it swell to sing so well? Yeah. Ain't it swell to sing so well? Then turn to the person next to you, give a high five.
High five.
Then watch me. I'm a professional. Watch me carefully. Do a hand dive. Don't do this. Okay, we're not doing that. We're not doing the swim here, the funky chicken. Let's do it one more time. Do a hand dive. Because it's just so. Let's go this way. Ready? Lean to the right and lean to the left and raise your hands this way. Put your hand down low and bring them up slow. And everybody shout!
Yeah.
Ain't it swell? Ain't it swell? Ain't it swell to sing so well? Just give a high five. Then do a hand dive because it's just so good. Put your hands on your knees. Put your hands on your hips. Find those hips, can't we? Okay. Put your head and your hands this way. Where do we get this bald, weird guy? Okay. Give a pat on the back. Pat. Easy. Then show how you came from breakfast to choir practice and you've yet to brush your teeth. Turn to the person next to you. You know the problem, don't you? Ma'am, how long has it been? How long? I'm just asking a personal question. It's a hygiene thing, okay? Turn to the person next to you. Give a cheesy, sappy, stupid-looking grin. Kind of like, then everybody shout!
Okay.
Hey, get those hands up, you backslidden teenagers. Get them up there. All right, here we go. Put your hands on your knees. Put your hands on your hips. Put your head and your hands this way. Give a pat on the back. Then a big toothy grin. And everybody shout!
Okay.
Ain't it swell? Ain't it swell? Ain't it swell to sing so well? Just give a high five. Then do a hand dive. Because it's just so. Watch Chapel. What do you think of Mr. Maynard? Yeah, I don't want to. Give us another hand. Good job. How many of you educated teenagers know Patch the Pirate? You're closet Patch fans. I know you are. Yes. You may say, oh, it's for my brother and sister, but you got iPod tunes of Pat the Pirate. That's right. You know, they're just filling your brain and heart with all kinds of birds. Well, I write songs for Pats all the time. You've got some of them and stuff, and I'll sing some of them for this week. But here's some that I haven't given to him yet that'll be used sooner than later. They're hokey, but they're Pat songs, okay? So here's one that, you know, you have trouble many times of teenagers not just listening with their brain or filling their heart, but listening with their eyes. You know, you can tell a lot about a person by what's going on in these eyeballs that are in their head. And Pat only has one. We won't hold that against him, okay? You know, one of the scariest memories I have of going to college, you know, I was married. I had a couple kids. Had one while I was young people, children, kids, they're goats. But I had my kids, you know, and we used to go to Monday night swim night at Bob Jones. You know, it was just for guys and stuff. So Ron Hamilton would bring Jonathan, you know, Pee Wee Pirate, and I'd bring my two boys and we'd go swimming. The scariest memory in my mind is seeing Patch the Pirate in a swimsuit without his patch. It was a scary thing, people. He looked like a starving child from Ethiopia. I'm telling you, he's one of the skinniest men I've ever met in my life. We have an Ethiopian guy here? I'm sorry. Love you, brother. Okay. All right. Here's a song I've written for Patch. It'll come to a CD near you someday. Ready? Put your thumbs like this and repeat after me. Raise up your chin. Look me in the eye. Winter talk begins. Look me in the eye. A little louder. Raise up your chin. Look me in the eye. Winter talk begins. Look me in the eye. If you're looking at your hands, staring at your knees, looking all around, you're not looking at me. Raise up your chin. Well, look me in the eye. When our talk begins, well, look me in the eye. If you want to be polite and do what's right, well, give it a try. Look me in the eye. Raise up your chin. Look me in the eye. When our talk begins, look me in the eye. Look at my left eye. Look at my right eye. Look at my right teeth. Give us a hand. Good job. Good job. Good job. Good job. Job. Now, this one may be already memorized in your brain, heart, and life. It's a song called Liar, Liar. Okay, I wrote this several years ago. But you don't know the actions, probably. You know the phrase, liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire? Well, the actions go like this. Go, liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire. Never tell a lie.
Never tell a lie.
Let me finish this. Always tell the truth. The truth. Wait for me. The truth. The truth. And nothing but the truth. Always tell the truth. Together. The truth. The truth. And nothing but the truth. Always tell the truth. Good job. Now it starts out with kind of an alarm thing. You go ding. 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 Thing. You'll catch on. Okay. Repeat after me. When you're tempted to tell a lie, and your brain says, let her fly, before you even start, this alarm should go off in your heart. Ready? Here we go. Ready? Ding, 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 ding. Liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire. Never tell a lie. Always tell the truth, and nothing but the truth. Always tell the truth. You want to do verse number two, boys and girls? Okay. It may be a little white lie.
It may be a little white lie.
Or even a big old whopper.
Or even a big old whopper.
Before you try to stop her. This alarm should go off in your All right, here we go. Ready? Ding, 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 ding. Liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire. Never tell a lie. Always tell the truth, and nothing but the truth. Always tell the truth. Good job. Give yourself a hand. Marvelous job. One more. You know, I tried my hardest to find a song on backsliding, which is a problem for all of us, and I couldn't come up with it. But the only thing that kept coming, going through my brain was that guy on ESPN that says, "He's going back. And I thought, ooh, that would be cool in a song. Here's the chorus. This will be sung many times this week, okay? And let me sing it for you first. I'm going back. When I should be pressing on, I'm going back. When I should be growing strong, pressing on for Jesus, growing stronger in the Lord. Not back. I must be pressing on and on and on and on. Huh? Well, this will help your neck. This will help your neck. All right, here we go. Get your thumbs up. Let's try it together. I'm going back. When I should be pressing on, I'm going back. When I should be growing strong, pressing on for Jesus, growing stronger in the Lord. Not back. I must be pressing and on and on and on and on. Here's the verses. When I should be doing right, I end up doing wrong. Instead of going forward, I'm where I don't belong. I need to be faithful, go forward for the Lord. Not back. I must be pressing on. Get those thumbs up. I'm going back. When I should be pressing on, I'm going when I should be growing strong, pressing on for Jesus, growing stronger in the Lord. Not back. I must be pressing on and on and on and on and on. Now, this is a problem. To know is not the problem, but living what I know. Learning from the Bible, then show what I should show. I need to be faithful, go forward for the Lord. Not back. I must be pressing on. Last time. I'm going back. When I should be pressing on, I'm going back. When I should be growing strong, pressing on for Jesus, growing stronger in the Lord. Not back. I must be pressing on and on and on and on and on. Girls, I must be come on, girls. I must be pressing. Yeah. Good job. Very good job. You know, this is another generation as far as ministry opportunities is concerned. And I've done this here many times, but I think this will be new for most of you. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to tell you and show you from God's Word and God's working on why I'm as wacko and strange as I am. I didn't get saved until I was 22 years old, and I was on a search like most of you are on a search. I've not found anybody on the face of the earth yet that aren't looking for these three things that are listed in Philippians chapter 4. You know what three things are listed? Well, the first one's this thing called joy. The second is this thing called peace. And the third thing we're going to deal with is contentment. And you know what, folks? The world tries to dupe you, deceive you, and rip you off from these very particular things that God wants to make a reality, not just in your head, but in your heart and life, that's seeking to bring glory and honor to His name. Now, I know we start the program of attention here in the second row with seventh graders. Yeah. Okay. And it goes all the way to those very mature, near perfect seniors back toward the back. I'd like to have a senior guy pray for us before we dive into Philippians here. So a spiritual leader, some guy who is not ashamed to pray and thank God for His goodness and seek. I'm trying to give you a stall time. Somebody raise your hand and volunteer. Okay. Thank you, my friend. Let me check out with the staff. Is it okay if he prays? Okay. All right. You want to stand, brother? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Now listen. Don't do the old chapel thing. Ask God to speak to your heart. You know, ask God to work in you personally. Some of you blew it last night. I parked on your doorstep. I kicked the door in. I came in right where you live, and you missed it again. Don't miss it this morning. Don't miss it tonight. Don't miss it the next few times of preaching. God, the Creator of all, wants to work in your head and heart and conform you to the image of Christ. It doesn't get any better than that. I don't care what you're caught up in or focused on. It doesn't get any better than the will and working of God from the blessed Word of God. So ask God to speak to your heart. He's looking to do that. And the only reason you don't have is because you ask not. So ask Him to speak to your heart and do a work in you.
Brother, can you remember all this? I know I stalled. It's kind of like the guy at the free throw line, you know, where they do the freeze tactic. I wasn't doing that, okay? So heads bowed and eyes closed. Ask God to speak in your heart as He prays on our behalf. Go ahead, brother. Amen. Good job. How does the world try to convince us we can have joy, peace, contentment? Well, let me tell you, because some of you swallowed this hook, line, and sinker. If I can have the right type of friends, you know, and I'm not talking about spiritual, but friends of the world, have the right contacts as such, I can be involved with the right activities of the world, and I can have all the things of the world, then I'll have true joy, peace, and contentment. I'm telling you guys, that's a lie from the devil himself, from the pit of hell. You can't allow yourself to get caught up in those lies, or you'll miss the blessedness that's found in Christ Jesus. Let me show you what the Bible says as far as these things, not just being known academically again, but alive and applicable to who and what you are in Christ. Look down with me at verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord as long as your mom and dad aren't a bunch of fuddy-duddy nags and they let you have all you want. And again, Bertha loves you. And again, I say, rejoice. Is that what the verse says? No, guys, this is not an option. This is a command of God. It says, rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. That means all the time. And again, I say, rejoice. So the first thing, joy. Second thing listed down in verse 7, as we mentioned, is peace. It says, in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through a new age too. If I could have a Hummer, you know, with a rifle in back to kill Bambi, I would be a happy, happy camper. Well, you know, it's the things of the world aren't the problem. It's our love for those things that supersedes our love for Christ. But listen carefully. You will never, listen carefully, because this will help some of you get to heaven for all eternity. You'll never experience the peace of God, which passes all understanding, until you make peace with God. And you make peace with God by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. See, you're still not convinced you're a sinner deserving hell for all eternity. That was my big problem. You'll hear about that in my testimony. I was having a hard time convincing myself that Mike Maynard the Great was a hell-deserving sinner. But the Bible says all have sinned. All of us deserve hell for all eternity. So if you want the peace of God, the key starting point is making peace with God by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then where does it speak about this contentment business? Look down at verse 11. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Content. So joy, peace, and contentment. Let me show you how God says it can be a part of who and what you are. Go down with me to verse 5. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Now underscore this phrase, the Lord is at hand. Now do you understand prophetically everything's just set in order for Jesus to return? And before the return, there'll be this wonderful thing called the rapture, where we'll be taken to meet Jesus in the air. But folks, there's another thought concerning the phrase, the Lord's at hand. Here it is. The Lord's at hand for you personally. You don't have to enjoy Jesus when you get to heaven for all eternity. You can enjoy Jesus right now as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, an ever-present help, someone that cares for you, I mean, more perfectly than anybody could ever care for you on the face of this earth. But what I find out, most teens, most adults never have that intimate, personal, daily walk with Christ. Again, they're busy. They got all kinds of academics, but they never have a reality of Jesus' presence and working now. Well, no wonder you're going sideways. No wonder you're going back when you should be pressing on. Jesus is alive and well, and He's looking again to be a constant companion to you. Now, what's He looking to do? First of all, He's at hand to save your soul, a soul that does not deserve to be saved, a soul that does not deserve to stay saved. It's because of the righteousness, the finished work of Jesus Christ, that you get saved or stay saved, and to God be the glory, great things He hath done. Secondly, once you're saved, He wants to strengthen you. He wants to sustain you, and then He wants to send you forth to do His bidding. The Lord. Now, don't quit sucking your thumb. I know that. Don't point, because I know they're in every school and every youth group and every church I go. Oh, God doesn't love me. Well, I can understand why he wouldn't. You're such a thumbsucker. You're a pain to be around. But you know what? God loves you, period. So quit feeling sorry for yourself. Get your eyes off of you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and understand no matter how many pimples you have, no matter how ugly you are, you all can't be as good looking as I am. I understand that. Please get over your bitterness. But you know what? You've got to understand, folks, the Lord loves you, period, unconditionally. But see, your flesh wants to call that a lie so you can feel sorry for yourself and be nothing. Be nothing for the cause of Christ. The Lord's at hand for you. Get over yourself and get filled up and running over with Jesus and His ever-loving, present help. So again, the Lord's at hand. Look at verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing but in everything. Underscore the word everything. Because when God says no, all, everything, He means exactly what He says. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with the right spirit, you know, with the spirit of thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Again, like I said last night, you have not because you ask not. Guys, you listening? Are you listening? A couple guys are talking.
Yeah.
I'm not going to smack them. I made the next service. But right now, I'm trying to be a kind, patient old man, okay? But don't talk while I'm talking, or I'll come and try to help you be more polite and attentive to Mr. Maynard. Okay? So again, you know, the Lord's at hand, and He says, talk to me. Ask me. I want to guide you. I want to take you where you need to go to accomplish what needs to be done. But see, because you're stuck on yourself and think more of yourself than you ought, you miss that counsel, that guiding hand that's perfect. And guess what? You're not. And neither is that person next to you, but God is. It says again, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Then in verse 7, we have that wonderful peace verse. But look at verse 8. Major Ron Brooks, a dear friend of mine, get to go to church with him, fellowship with him a lot, just a wonderful saint of God, still serving the Lord Baptist World Mission. But he said that verse 8 is the grid in the Christian life to filter out the junk of the world that's around you. If you understand this is not an option, this is a necessity for you to stay a fit vessel for the Master's use. And if you don't get with this program, I guarantee you won't accomplish what God would have done through your life. Look what he says. In verse 8 it says, finally, brethren, talking to us believers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, and you feel like it. Is that in your Bible?
If I agree with it.
No, you think this way. Think on these things. Again, teenager, wake up your head. This is the reason you're a mess. That's why you're watching movies you shouldn't watch and listen to junk music.
Well, I think it's okay. Well,
find out what God says. Quit arguing and start listening. Remember, stop, drop, and listen. Quit listening to your reasoning and start listening to the perfect counsel from a perfect God who wants to bring perfect love and what's right to your life. It doesn't happen unless you, again, get with a program that will help you think right, which in turn will help you respond in a right, God-honoring, blessed way. So again, think this way. Then look at verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what's the next word?
I don't know. I'm not looking at my Bible.
Well, look at your Bible! All right, let me read again. Those things which you both... Oh, that hurt my throat. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what's the word?
Is the problem at Dublin Christian Academy that you folks have no idea how to serve God and do what's right?
No. The problem is you choose to not be a doer of the Word of God. Folks, we've been taught. I know what goes on here. I appreciate the quality of teaching and ministry that's entrusted unto you. You're here unto whom much is given, much is required. You're probably sick of hearing that, but you still need to hear it again. You have been overly blessed. I know some of you think this is a prison, especially you guys that are stuck over in the dorm and you girls.
Oh, when they go, Mom and Dad hate me, they're torturing me, and they put me in this prison.
You know what? This is not a prison. Now, some of the people look like jail keeps. I understand that, okay?
Walk around, oh, you're going to die if you get out over. I can make your life miserable. We'll put you in a hole.
I know, I understand that. But listen, I understand. They've got problems to deal with themselves. But this is a blessed privilege and just a God-honoring opportunity to learn much, to do much for Christ. So the problem is you don't know. It's just you're, again, you're listening to you instead of God, and you're refusing to be a doer of the Word of God. Well, no wonder there's no joy. No wonder there's no peace. No wonder there's no contentment. You're here, but you're not seeking to be a doer of the blessed Word of God. And in that verse we talked about earlier, look at verse 11. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be, what's the word? Content. By nature, we are negative people. Too hot in the church, too cold in the church. Preacher preaches too long, preacher preaches too short, which is a very rare thing unless you're Jerry Savinsky. So listen to Brother Maynard, listen carefully. You know what? The reason you're discontent is not God's fault. It's not your parents' fault. It's not your teacher's fault. It's your own personal problem. Because again, you won't get your heart and mind in Christ. Therefore, you're dysfunctional. And you'll stay dysfunctional concerning the will and working of God. It'll never work right until, again, the heart and the mind are in Christ. Now, when I graduated, I told you last night, I'm 53 years old. When I graduated from high school, it was 1971, before most of you were born. Okay, well, probably even the teachers. But here's the thing, except for some of you more mature teachers. Was that nice? And again, listen to Brother Maynard. You know what? I believed hook, line, and sinker the lie of the devil. Go out there, you know, sow your wild oats, go out there and just see what the world has to offer. And you know what? I didn't have a clue how to truly receive joy, peace, and contentment according to the Word of God. When I graduated from high school, everybody was talking about going down to Walt Disney World, working with Mickey Mouse and Goofy and Tigger too. And you know what? That's exactly what I did. You were there when it opened. You're that old. I was. I did. I went. It was a great place to be. I mean, as far as the activities are concerned. I mean, grand opening, movie star. Who'd you meet? Who'd you meet? I always have people ask that. Well, most of them are dead by now. But maybe from Nick at Night, you might remember some of these little names. You know who Julie Andrews is? Don't admit it. Okay, don't admit it. He's going, yeah, Mary Poppins. Don't tell people, okay? Just again, it's kind of a secret thing. But I like Mary Poppins. You know, Dick Van Dyke, I think, pretty funny. I like, she's the Sound of Music. Oh, yeah. And you. Are y'all with me? You know who Julie? Okay, all right. Fred McMurray, who was the original Flubber guy, got to meet him. But probably the most exciting, I mean, Jonathan Winter was, I guess the list goes on forever. But the most exciting for me was this guy named Fess Parker. Now, you may not know that name, but you will when I sing the song. Daniel Boone was a man. What a big man. What a boon, what a doer, what a dream come true was he. Yeah, Bessie. You know what I'm saying? It was just, he just was amazing. He was 9 foot tall on my side, and I got to say, I was kind of like a, oh my word. And you know, and it was, I was just kind of a goofball 18-year-old at that point, barely 18. What were my parents thinking, letting me go to Florida when I'm 18 years old by myself? I don't think they liked me much. But, yeah, son, go anywhere you want. Just get out of the house. I think that's the way it was at that. But I'm down there meeting all these movie stars. I've got all these activities. Listen, I can do any flesh-feeding activity I want to be a part of. And you know what? I got in the midst of most of them. But it frustrated me and confused me greatly on why I have all these things the world so craves and desires and goes after. But guess what? I'm more empty than I was before I got there. And I couldn't figure it out. Now, I worked there for 7 months. Yeah, 7 months. I was so homesick. Now, I didn't tell people that. But the main reason I left Disney World, you want to know the real reason? I missed my mommy. I am today. My mom's 135, but I love my mother. I try to call her every day. You do? Yeah. Is there something wrong with that? You got a problem? Want to step outside? Yeah, I love my mommy. Okay. And my dad, older than dirt. I love my dad. You know, if my dad came in the back of the chapel right now, I'd be so excited. I'd smooch on him. I wouldn't do a lipper, okay? But I'd smooch on my dad. I love my... I know that's hard for some of you to conceive. Love parent. Oh, he must be weird. You know what? I've always loved my parents. I don't know what you have as far as a self-centered program, but you know, parents, they don't know what they're doing. Do y'all understand that? You're all experimental number one and two, and for some of you fruitful people, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. I understand that. But give them a break, people! Make it easy. It's hard enough being a parent when you got good kids, but when you got a pain in the flesh, it's a real hassle as far as parenting's concerned. So, you know, love mommy, love daddy, and they're not perfect. Well, I am, but you know, other parents aren't perfect, right? But you know what? You got to understand, I miss my mommy so much, I couldn't stay in Florida any longer. So I moved back to Dunkirk, India. It's kind of like being from Dublin or something. You know, it's a place you want to be from. Are you all with me on that? Say amen. Yeah. Okay. So I go back to Dunkirk, and I'm thinking, get me out of here. I have been to the big city. I don't want to be in Podunk Holler. Well, what happened? A friend of mine called me and said, hey, Maynard, we had this professional football player who was supposed to be a counselor at our camp, and he can't come now. Would you come and fill his spot? Okay. Well, I ended up being the camp guitarist. I play guitar since I was about 14 or 15. And maybe if someone's got one, we'll play some here this week. But what happened was I got the bug. I figured out in my mind, now I know how to fill the void in my heart and life. If I could be an entertainer, you know, if I could have my name in lights, you know, I could have all this TV exposure, all these CDs and all this sort of stuff. That would bring what I'm truly looking for. What'd you do? Well, after working at that camp, I headed back down to Disney World. Now, I started playing guitar and singing out at Fort Wilderness Campground. I had this partner, this guy, he was a druggie. I mean, all my friends were druggies. And you know, now, let me tell you this. The only reason I never did drugs, now, it was in abundance. It was free. I could have been a stoned head, a deadhead all my whole existence. But I promised Mom and Dad before I left Indiana that I would never do drugs. And I'm thankful I made that promise. I did everything else, and I'm not glorifying sin. No, I'm so sick, and I'm so battling that junk that I put in my brain and heart, even today, as I seek to please and honor God. That's why these teachers and your parents, you would think, are so stuffy and so stifling to your life and living. They're saying, don't listen to that. Don't watch that. Don't go with those people. Don't do this. Why? Because those things, they just get stuck in this old computer called your head. And even though you're trying to do right, that stuff is constantly a battle going on in your brain and heart. Your spirit says go, and the flesh says whoa. And you know what? Don't do that. I mean, it's hard enough to live for God when you're, you know, doing right and seeking to be faithful, let alone with that junk in your head. That's why now you need to stay tender. That's why now you need to just make right choices, so you can stay faithful now and stay faithful later and not have that junk floating around your brain. I have a movie projector, folks, that just reminds me continually of my stupid choices as a young man, a teenager, and in my 20s. I tell you, it's junk stuff, and I don't want you to go there. Well, anyway, I go back. My partner, I thought he was ancient. I thought, this guy is almost dead. Guess how old he was? 40 years old. Now, for someone 17, 18 years old, anybody past 25 looks, doesn't Mr. Moody look like he's dead? Doesn't he, Eric? Doesn't he? I mean, he looks like, how can this guy get out of bed in the morning? I mean, I think he's at least 49 by now or something like that. 38, right, brother? Okay, so he's 38, so he's almost dead. And here's the thing. You know, this guy, he was such a loser. He would get stoned out of his mind before we played at Disney. Now, for you kids that don't understand it, to me, he threw rocks at himself. Are you all with me on that? Like, whoa, dude, far out, peace, zippity, doo-dah, baby. Yeah, he was that kind of guy. He was just a drug, brain-dead guy. But you know what? I learned a lot about entertaining from this guy. I mean, he used to be on an old show called Midwestern Hayride, and he was just an unbelievable guitarist. And you know what? I learned a lot how to do this, but also learned what not to be in life. The guy at 40... had no goals, no objectives, nothing of substance in his life. And I thought, even as an 18, 19-year-old, I don't want to be that way when I get his age. Well, I worked at Disney again for a few months, discontent, dissatisfied, no peace, no contentment. And everybody there was talking about working on a cruise ship or a love boat. You didn't. Yeah, I did. I ended up working on the Royal Caribbean cruise liner that went from Miami, Florida, to Caracas, Venezuela. For you geographically challenged people, that's South America. Okay. And I'd go to all these tropical paradises. I ate with the passengers. I partied with the passengers. My job was to help these people for 2 weeks. I had these people for 2 weeks to help them have the most abundant flesh-feeding time they could ever have in their life. And that's what I got paid to do. But also play guitar and sing. I also made connections. You know what entertainment is? Is that who you know, what you know, where you're going, how to get there through this person, that person, the other. And you know what? I was making those connections. And I still had the goal, name up in lights, you know, bless the world with my musical presence. And you know what? I was more empty than I'd ever been before. And I just couldn't figure it out. I did 6 2-week cruises. That seemed like an eternity. And again, folks, I wasn't naive. I wasn't a Christian. I thought I was. You know why I thought I was a Christian? Because I always believed the Bible to be God's Word. I went to church when I was younger. I went to church camp. I was a part of the youth group. I love God from my own perspective, but I never understood how to be biblically born again. And I didn't have a clue. Well, what happened after working on 6 2-week cruises, I went back to Orlando, Florida, because of this girlfriend of mine got in a car wreck and all that sort of stuff. And when I went back to Orlando, I spent money as fast. I made good money on the cruise ship, but I spent it as fast as I could get it. Well, I had to get a job. Was I going to get a manual labor job? No way, buddy. I wanted a moving, grooving, baking and shaking, get down, get up again job, picking and grinning, doing my musical thing. Did you do it? Yeah. I ended up working for a steak and ale restaurant. It's just a steak place with a waiting area and a bar. And I did the cocktail hour. Now, I had hair back then. Not much. But I had hair back then. It was kind of back and long down here. I was a groovy thing to behold. Are y'all with me here? Yeah, I was a groovy baby. And what happened was, I got all kinds of attention from the newspaper. Man, I had a big, huge article in the Orlando paper about this folk singer folks are talking about. But something happened at this steak and ale opportunity that changed my life forever. My nerdy little brother, who's about 6 years younger than me, he went off to church camp. Now, why does a young man go to church camp? Spiritual enrichment? Nah, to see what girls are there. That's why I went to church camp. That's why my brother. And you know what? That's not bad as long as you stay within biblical boundaries. Say yes, Brother Maynard. Yeah, biblical. That means do it things God's way. And what happened was my brother had something happen to him that never happened to me. Now, this is a Methodist church camp. And this lady came up to my brother and asked him this question. Doug, do you know for sure if you died where you'd spend eternity? Well, Doug gave the same answer I would have given. Well, I think so. Well, I hope so. And praise God, this lady knew enough to say, Doug, would you like to know so? And Doug kind of said, well, wouldn't everybody? So she took the Bible and showed him from the Word of God how he can know Jesus Christ biblically as his personal Savior. And guess what happened? My nerdy little brother was gloriously, biblically born again. He comes home to Dunkirk to my dear old dad. Now, where am I? I'm on a barroom stool down in Florida blessing people with my musical presence. Are you all with me? He comes home to dear old dad. What's dad like? I mean, the last person you think would ever get saved. My dad was a car dealer. Hello? I mean, that's like a lawyer getting saved or something. You know what I'm saying? But what happened? My dad was a stereotype, cussing, crooked, cheating. My dad didn't roll the miles back on a car. He rolled them forward. Okay? He just kind of did anything he could to make a car look better than it really is. And you know what? Everybody loved my dad. A baloney breath, tell you what you want to hear, car dealer, but still empty. Are you listening? My brother comes home and says, Dad, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Now, here's my dad's perspective of religion in general. A lot of religion do a little good. A little religion do a little good. A lot of religion do a lot of good. Now, go ahead and play church and don't smoke dope and chase wild women and steal hubcaps. And that was my dad's understanding of this Christianity business. But here's what made a difference. Listen to me. Some of you have unsaved parents. Don't just tell them you're a Christian. Show them you're a Christian. You hear me? My brother's a teenager impacted our entire family for all eternity because he didn't just say, yeah, I'm saved and live like the devil himself. No, he was a new creature in Christ. He was a brain dead teenager like all teenagers are brain dead. OK, I'm sorry. That's the truth and reality of life. My brother was a teenager, but he was a new creature in Christ. And my brother so impacted my dad. And another businessman there in town preached to my dad. My dad at the age of 42, cussing, crooked, cheating car dealer, knelt down in our family room and was gloriously, biblically born again. Can I have an amen from the crowd? That's right. And my dad, guess what he did? He came after me. Now, again, I'm down in Florida doing my musical thing, and he starts beating me with the Bible. He had the nerve, the audacity to tell me I'm a sinner and I'm going to hell for... I didn't like that because I was Mike Maynard the Great. I was the guy that made people happy, happy, happy all the time, time, time. How dare my dad tell me he's a sinner. Car dealer. Yeah, you're a sinner, but I'm the church kid. I love God. I believe the Bible. I know Jesus came. He died. He was buried. He rose. I believed all that. But again, I didn't understand how to be biblically born again. And dad was just trying to tell me. It's amazing how, again, very foolish you are in your thoughts and how lacking you are in understanding when you're lost, when you think you're saved. You know, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't click. Well, no wonder. Until you know Christ is your Savior, the light's not turned on. Understanding's not yours because you have not the Holy Spirit that indwells you as a believer when you trust Christ as Savior. That's why this stuff is gunk and junk to you. That's why chapel right now is so boring. Are we done yet? Let's go do anything but this. It doesn't make sense to you because you've yet to have the capability of understanding by truly being saved. That was me. So Dad kept preaching, and I took off running. I ended up leaving this holiday. Now, Disney came to me and said, hey, come and work for us. Flesh feeder, okay? Holiday Inn came to me and said, hey, we want you to go travel all over the state of Florida for us in different bars and clubs. And I did that. I ended up working for Holiday Inn, Cocoa Beach, that's Ron John's surf shop. Some of you heard that before. I was over in Sarasota where every person's at least 97 years old. And then I worked down... It's the truth. It's a scary place to drive. And I ended up...
I'm going to kill young people when they come down for vacation now.
And, you know, these little cotton top people. And it's not funny as it used to be because I'm about there, okay? Well, what happened, you know, I worked at Cocoa Beach. I worked in Sarasota. And then, listen to this. This is incredible. I ended up working in the Florida Keys. They're a little island south of Miami. And I had it made down there. I had an oceanfront efficiency. I could go snorkeling, scuba diving. The manager had a huge old sailboat we used to go out on, skiing. It was kind of fun in the Everglades, skiing. Alligator, whoo, yeah, oh, yeah, and doing that sort of thing. But you know what? It was just an incredible, just a no-brainer job. I had my name in lights, Mike Maynard appearing nightly. Miami writes up an article, hey, come down to Keys. It's worth the drive. Come and hear this guy pick and grin and do his thing. I mean, I was climbing the ladder. I was making the contacts. But here's what I couldn't figure out. I'm stinking unbelievably empty and miserable, and I can't figure it out. Now, what's Dad doing? Beating me with the Bible, you know, in the ear, out the nose, and all that sort of thing. And Dad kept preaching and telling me, I know why you're miserable. I'm not miserable. I was miserable. I was empty. Well, I had this job making good money, good attention, climbing the ladder, but I gave it up. I ended up moving. I asked this girl to marry me in the midst of this. I did. What was I thinking? I asked this girl to marry me, and then I dumped her. Girls, let me give a commercial here. Listen carefully. I've got to get this done. I asked this girl, I love you forever. You're my get lost. That was me. I was a capital J-E-R-K. Do we all know what that spells? Yes. Do you realize, girls, look at me, please. This will help some of you escape a multitude of pain and problem. Most men I know are capital J-E-R-K people. Don't get too excited, wives. The wives are going, yeah, amen. Yeah. Married ladies, don't reveal your counseling needs, okay? But you know what? Unless, listen carefully, unless they're saved, surrendered, and seeking to do God's will. I don't care how good looking they are. Some of you girls are blonde in your presentation of dating search responsibility. I got to find a man. As long as he's breathing, he's going to be mine. Okay. And I know how it is. I know it works. And listen, that's God's business. And God's will is more important than your so-called want, desire, or need from your fleshly perspective. Brother Eric waited. He waited till he found one that was young enough and silly enough to marry him. I went through the counseling with Brother Eric for years coming to camp. He said, I need me a woman. I said, brother, have you looked in the mirror lately? You know, I said, do you understand, brother, the trial and the tribulation that these women are facing? And he got one that couldn't see real well, reeled her in, you know, and she got contact, scared the woman to death. I'm telling you right now. She wakes up in the morning, she leans over, she goes, ooh! Yeah, she goes like that. I'm just kidding. Kind of kid. But what happens, folks, listen, girls, you get stuck with a guy who only wants to get from you instead of give. The kind of guy or girl that you want to make sure that you're with is the one God wants you to be with, and that's one that wants to do God's will, that wants to give you what's best. You know what, best? This is best. Now, listen, some of you girls, you're not listening to me. You are so, again, foolish, and you're so fleshly wanting. You don't understand. God's just trying to give you what's best. And what's best is God's will set forth from God's Word. And if a guy comes up to you and says, oh, I love you, Mama, kiss these lips. Yeah, I'm going to love you. I love you. You know, you can kiss me. You know, and they give you that cross-eyed zizzle, zizzle, zing thing. Don't buy that lie and lust of the flesh. If they love you, they're going to seek to keep you pure. They're going to seek to give you what's best, which is, again, God's Word and God's will. And I'll tell you, some girls are more aggressive and more wicked in this than some guys now. Listen, don't be fooled by this flesh you're parked in. Every man, again, is looking to do his own thing, and that includes women, okay? If they're not focused on Christ, seeking to glorify and honor Him. Can I have an amen? Good commercial, folks, and will save you a multitude of pain and problems if even in your so-called search of that perfect mate, and there are none. You with me? But you understand, you've got to realize, apart from Christ, every man will again do his thing instead of bringing to your life what's needed and what's best. And boy, that's help from Uncle Mike here. But again, what happened, I ended up moving to Orlando, Florida. I asked this girl, I dumped her, okay? Then I had the brazen whatever to go back and say, would you still marry me? Now, after 32 years, she wished she'd have said no, but she said yes at that point. We moved back to Dunkirk, Indiana. Again, a place you want to be from. I could not get a job playing and singing in bars and clubs from Chicago to Louisville, Kentucky. Everything was booked like a year in advance. Guess where I ended up working? Maynard Brothers Fanatical Ford Sales in Dunkirk, Indiana. My dad, what a fanatic. He had Christ as the answer in letters this big across the front of this car dealership. I mean, people are getting preached to. Dad will book down. My father, what a wacko. My dad would sell people a car. No, he'd tell them about Jesus. He'd have people waiting in line to talk to him while he's witness. What a nutcase. Midlife crisis. That's what I thought it was. He's had money, he's had the house, he's been around. Now he's got this Jesus stuff. But see, I'm a Christian. I'm going to church all the time. I'm going to Bible studies. I'm playing, no, this is amazing. I was playing guitar and singing in youth rallies all over the state of Indiana. Lost! I counseled at a Methodist church camp. Lost! And you know what? I didn't really understand that Mike Maynard was a sinner deserving hell for all eternity. Well, how'd you get saved, Brother Maynard? I went to one too many meetings. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I end up going to my grandma's Methodist church, a lay witness meeting, a bunch of fired up, truly saved believers. We're trying to raise the dead in some of these churches where people just, again, did their own thing instead of following the Bible. And I gave testimony that night. I said, you people are going to hell for all eternity. He didn't even... I was lost. You hear me? Lost as can be. After the meeting, this lady came to me and said, young man, you're exciting. It's kind of like... tell me something I don't already know and believe. And she says, I hear you play guitar and sing. I say, I can get down and get up again. She said, would you come on these lay witness meetings with us and work with teenagers and play your guitar and sing? I said, my first thought was, how much does this gig pay? You know, what's this going to do for Mike Maynard? And then she asked the ultimate slap me up the side of the head question. She said, when did you receive Christ as your Savior? She didn't ask me if I'd gone to the altar. I'd done that about 9 times. Like some of you, you know, to shut your parents up. You know, to shut the preacher up, shut the teacher up. Well, I'll pray the prayer and then they'll leave me alone. And you know what? I was still lost as lost can be. And the hardest point again was this, that Mike Maynard was a sinner deserving hell for all eternity. What'd you do? I did what I always did. I ran. I ran from the conviction. I ran from the challenge. I ran from that need of conversion, knowing Christ as personal Savior. What'd you do next? Well, I got in the car. I'm married at this point. I remember locking the door to my car so that bad woman couldn't get me. I really did. I was such a wimp. I drove from Red Key to Dunkirk, Indiana, 2 miles. My wife goes to sleep. She got saved as a junior in high school, Episcopalian. And some friend cared enough about her soul to take her to a youth meeting. She got saved. But no one ever discipled her. She didn't know enough to stay away from a loser, lost guy like me. Well, she goes to sleep and I'm going to hell. Now, if you didn't learn anything else in this testimony, you learned I liked me a lot. Are y'all with me on that? Nod your head. Yeah, I thought my stuff was better than anybody else's, like some of you do. And you know, when I came to the realization, a fact, that Mike Maynard's a sinner, man, there's only one thing that I knew I needed to do. And that's drop to my knees and admit I'm a sinner. And by faith received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now again, I'd prayed a bunch of prayers, but there was never repentance where I said, oh God, forgive me my sin, and by faith received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. A lot of you have prayed the prayer, but there's been no difference. There's no change, and when you're truly saved, you'll be a new creature in Christ. You'll hunger and thirst for the things of God. And it says, if any man love the world, listen carefully, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, that night as I turned from my sin and by faith received Christ, it's not a maybe, it's not a guess, it's not a hope. So I know I was saved. I was biblically born again. And you know what? It hasn't changed since that time at the age of 22 that God saved my dirty, rotten hide. And I'm so thankful that Jesus loved even me. You know, I have a twofold burden when I give my testimony. This will be done. First of all, I believe in good schools like this, or a lot of people need to be saved. That's why there's no desire for spiritual things. That's why you're constantly worldly instead of Christ-like. Because, again, you may have prayed the prayer. You believe Jesus died, buried, rose again, yada, yada, yada. That's the way it is in your mind. But you've never, never received Jesus Christ biblically as your... Oh, your parents are wonderful. I mean, you're an A student as far as academics and your Bible and all this. But you still have no joy. You have no peace. You have no contentment. Why? Because you've never been biblically born again. Therefore, there's no heart and mind in Christ. Second burden. A lot of wonderful, biblically born again teenagers and adults, they're truly saved, but there's still no joy, peace, contentment. How come? Because you believe the lie of the devil. You're still going after the people of the world, the things of the world, the activities of the world. And I'm telling you guys, it will never work. Because of that choosing, the heart and mind are nowhere close to being Christ. Well, no wonder you're frustrated. No wonder this Christian stuff of dedication seems so unnecessary in your life that belongs to Jesus. But I tell you what, joy could be yours. Peace is right there before you. Contentment can be something not just in your head, not just on the pages, but alive and well and working in your life if you'll make a simple choice to put your heart and mind in Christ. Bow your heads and hearts. We're out of time.